But I am saying evangelize the church. Encourage people to get the priorities right and to have faith and know that the end of the world is here. I mean, it is here. And Jesus is coming, and we need to be vigilant in our prayer life, our walk with God. And I'm not talking about in regards to the law. I'm just talking about in faith. Have some faith that the end of the world is here. And we need to walk with God. And, man, if we can't stir up the believer, what good are we in stirring up the lost? All right? So let's be diligent with that. Get on the phones. Check on people. How you doing? You know, how's your walk with God doing? How can I help you? How can I encourage you? Tell them Jesus is coming. Tell them to wake up. You know, God will give you light. So it's just important to do. So I just stress that because in conversation with everyone else about how wonderful it was to see so many people, it's always that way when the body of Christ comes together. So please remember that. I want to thank Christy. I think a lot of this, she and Felix and I were in my office talking one day, and it just really came out of her heart to do something like this. And so she and the staff did such a wonderful job in putting all of this together. The churches that joined with us, the ministers that prayed, just special friends did a fabulous job. But yeah, a vision realized, right, Christy? And it's sweet when you see it realized, you know. Amen. Also, men, we're going to start back in the morning at 6. And so we'll have our men's Bible study tomorrow. And we put it off because of the storm last week. And thank the Lord that didn't turn out to be too much. So we had more rain up in Arkansas from it than we did in Baton Rouge. And so we had a tremendous time up there. So powerful. I've rarely seen such a move of God like we did. It was just incredible. But I believe it's just the moment to see all of that. It was really good. Hungry people. People being filled with the Holy Ghost. It was just so incredible. Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name. Thank you for the prayer meeting last night. Lord, we desire to continue that today into the services. Father, we thank you for the people that you brought there, the ministers and the relationships that we have with other churches, and that we were able to join together, God, just to pray. And all the people that came, thank you for them, Father, that just came out there to call upon your name to pray. I give you the glory for that, God. If there's ever been and a need for an answer in our world, it is right now, God. There's so much chaos and confusion, pain and suffering and hurt. And you are the answer to this, Lord. Help us to change that narrative from what they're hearing in the news and what they're hearing from people's opinions and perspectives that stir up all of the strife. Father, help us to also understand the attack on our nation is a Marxist revolution, and we're being distracted with words and other things, but the real agenda is to overthrow this country. And Father, we pray that you would help us to stand strong, Father, and prevail against that demonic spirit that would try to wreck this nation, Father, this city on a hill that was to be and has been a means by sending the gospel into the world. Lord, let it continue. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. I pray you bless this time today, and we give you all the glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go really fast through a lot of scriptures today, and I want you to turn with me in these scriptures. Read them with me. If you want, just write them down, because I would love for you to go back and study them yourself. But I want to start off in Ephesians chapter 1, because this is really crucial. Last week I talked to you about the need for believers to influence the Holy Spirit. We find in the Old Testament, we find men and women doing things before God because they moved God. For example, God stands before Moses and he says to Moses, "Leave me alone so I can do what I want to do to these people." And Moses says, "No, I'm not." He influenced God. God allowed it. God gave Moses power with him to be able to do that. But nonetheless, there is a possibility for us to have a relationship of faith with God that really influences him for our lives, for our country, for people that we know, rather than, you know, just this, I don't know, kind of a nonchalant attitude about the sovereignty of God. Well, God's going to do what he wants to do, and there's nothing we can do about it but just hope we see what he does and join him and walk with him in that. But there really is an opportunity to move God and to see things done. He said in Ezekiel, I would have saved the people, but nobody stood in the gap. And so I had to bring judgment. I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to bring mercy, but nobody was there with me to do it. So I brought judgment. And so these are things we have to really think about and ponder. God is giving us an invitation and we have to take it. So today I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of this life. And he tells us in this, this is a prayer for Christians in verse 15, we see that. And he's asking the Lord to do something in their life. He's praying for the Spirit of God to give them wisdom and so forth. But then he comes down and he prays for this power in verse 19, that they would know the power that is available to them, that is given to them. This power that is available to Christians is the same power in verse 20 that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the same power that gave Jesus the ascension into heaven where he sits at the right hand of God. This is the same power that is given to us. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus did was in the Holy Spirit. Even his offering of himself on the cross was through the Holy Spirit. His resurrection was by the Holy Spirit. His ascension was by the Holy Spirit. And it's a marvelous thing. You know, we've heard this so many times all of our life that it's not fresh and amazing to us that this is the power that God gives us. This is the power that lives in you, and it's the power that lives in me. And I just say that if we are at the end of the world and we only have a little time left, it is a shame if we do not allow this power to operate through our life. We need to pray for miracles. I ask you, did you pray for miracles on the way to church today? Did you pray for God to demonstrate his glory and his power in our life today? Did you ask for healings and salvations and demons to be cast out? Have you prayed for God to do these things? And typically the answer for most Christians is no, I haven't prayed for that. I might pray for the sick, but just a demonstration of God's power and miracles, I haven't. In Acts chapter 4, when the church was threatened, they did pray for miracles. They asked God to move with mighty signs and wonders. And they asked God to give them boldness to be able to declare his word. And then we find in Acts chapter 4 that God answered it. And the place they were in was shaken greatly. And verse 33 says, because I preached this a couple of weeks ago, verse 33 says, and God gave the apostles great power to demonstrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was in miraculous power that Jesus' resurrection was proved. As I said, he didn't take them to an empty tomb to prove the resurrection. He took them to a supernatural church. And it's a shame if we are the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of that resurrection and we don't believe for power or pray for power or expect power from God and we just want to be philosophers and professors and talk about a historic Jesus, then we have removed half of the gospel. And not only did he give them great power to prove the resurrection of Jesus, but he gave them great grace. Everybody had this great grace of God resting upon them. And so I want you to remember this in Ephesians. The power given to you is the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You're not given a second-rate power. You've been given God himself. And then in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about how he used this power for the glory of God. This was the power of the gospel. And he said in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. And so the gospel is the power of God. Well, what is the gospel? What is that full gospel that we talk about? You know, we believe in the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And then if you go to chapter 15 of Romans, he tells us how this was demonstrated in his life. And I don't think we should settle for anything less than this. He says in verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God from Jerusalem to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. How did Paul fully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? With mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. We have to expect this. We have to believe for this. We have to pray for this, that God would do these things through all of our lives. The Holy Spirit comes to give us that power and that ability. So, laying this foundation, knowing the power that has been given to us, and knowing how relevant this power is to fully preach the gospel, I want us to see this need of the Holy Spirit and power in our life. And so we're going to go through a lot of scriptures, hopefully quickly, and we're going to begin in Acts chapter 1. And it tells us in verse 1, he says this, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." And I've brought this out to us so many times before, but what Jesus did was as important as what he said. Please understand that. The Holy Spirit is inspiring Luke to give a record of what Jesus preached and what Jesus did. And this is important. It is very important. And it just brings us back to this context. It is as important what you do as what you say. And so we can declare things to be true, but there has to be a demonstration of power. There really does. And our world is desperate for it now. We've lost our world. It's just lost. It is just totally foreign from God. And we have to bring the harvest in. And it's got to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're not going to listen to your talk. They're listening for phrases. They're listening for cliches. And if you don't speak the right thing, then you're just banned. You're in another group and you're not helping us. We have to come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that knows how to speak to this generation today. And so in Matthew 13, I want to look at Jesus' life and how Jesus lived his life. So in Matthew 13, he tells us in verse 54, he says, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" He has wisdom and mighty works. Go back to chapter 11, verse 21, and notice what it says here. He says, Jesus says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And so Jesus is confessing, you've had mighty works done in you. Other countries would have repented, but you have not. And so there's a woe upon you. Go to Luke chapter 7 and notice this. In Luke chapter 7, the Bible tells us in verse 22 in regards to Jesus, "Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John," because they wanted to know, are you really the Messiah? "Tell John what things you have seen and heard." Seen and heard. Is that the gospel you preach? Do people see and hear the gospel? You know, the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians, "I'm so amazed that you've been removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have labored with you day and night. You have seen, not just heard, you have seen Jesus Christ crucified among you. I demonstrated his life." What a statement to make. What a powerful statement. It says, go tell John what you've seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor, to the poor the gospel is preached. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We learn this about Jesus in his ministry, which has to be our ministry because he lives in us. And so it should be the same ministry in us. In John 5, verse 30, Jesus says, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." And he just goes on. "You sent to John, he bore witness of the truth, but I received not testimony from man. But these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. He says, you don't know God. You haven't seen his shape. So Jesus is saying, listen, my works are my witness. But he's also saying, I don't do these things of myself. I don't do anything apart from my Father. He's doing these things in me. And those are the things that are bearing witness as to who I am. Guys, it's the same thing in Acts 4:33. The Holy Spirit came and gave them great power to bear witness unto Jesus Christ. This is the witness of Jesus in a supernatural church. These works of God that are being done. In John chapter 10, I want to transition now into something for us. But in John chapter 10, he says in verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. How clear does he have to be? How clear? And then if you continue to notice this in verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered and saying, for a good work we're not stoning you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself God. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him of whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Well, is the Father in you? Are you in him? Is there works to demonstrate this? Is there power to demonstrate it? And don't just think that all power is the ability to raise the dead or cast out a devil. It's the ability to love your enemy. It's the ability to forgive. It's the ability to let go of bitterness. It's the ability for God that he gives you to do things in your life. Nobody can do anything greater than love. This is the greatest thing of all, you know. And to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's a miracle. To forgive somebody is a miracle. But I don't want to just focus on that because that can tend to be an excuse for people. I mean, there has to be real power, a real demonstration of power in a person's life. And we're taught this so clearly. And so Jesus said, listen, if you're not going to believe me, believe the work's sake. We have to go out into a world like this. They don't believe in our God. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't want to believe in Jesus. They don't want to believe in God. So they're going to throw our words back into our face. There has to be power today. There has to be a demonstration of God today. If we're going to bring the harvest in, we have to be in the Holy Ghost. And so I want you to go back to this in John 14. I want you to see this in verse 10. And he says this, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. This is so powerful. It's even convicting, you know. And then he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Where's the irrefutable evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life? Where is that? You got people say, why is Christianity valid? Why should I believe in Christianity? What about the other religions of the world? Well, Peter was able to point to the baptism in the Holy Spirit to all of the thousands in Jerusalem and say, this is that. This is that. And it's not some philosophical reason as to why I believe in Jesus Christ. It's because the Holy Spirit has given irrefutable evidence to me as to who he is. The Holy Spirit has convinced me. The Holy Spirit has come into my heart crying, Abba, Father. That's why I believe in Jesus. This whole life is a miracle. This whole relationship with God is a miracle. And this is what we have to give to people. This is what's going to convince them. The Holy Spirit is going to convince them. In chapter 14, he says it so clearly in verse 12. If you believe, you will do the works. Why will you do the works? Because the same God that indwelt Jesus is indwelling you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Think about this. I'm going to tell you something kind of deep. So think about it. All right? Listen to this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the perfect expression of the Father. If you saw Him, you saw the Father. He was given a human body. And in that human body, He is the divine, complete, and perfect expression of all the Father is. Now that's not the deep thing. The deep thing is this. The Holy Spirit is also given a body. And from this body, the Holy Spirit is to be the complete expression of Jesus Christ. The body He's been given is the church. Jesus' human body, completely submitted to His will. The church, however, is a lot more difficult. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It quenches the Holy Spirit. It constrains the Holy Spirit. And would to God we would stop. Because if we would stop doing that to Him, He would give this world an expression of Jesus that they could not deny. Think about it. And though I can't control what you do, I can seek in my own life to not be a hindrance to the Holy Spirit. And it's not a life of perfection, it's a life of faith. It's not that I go forth and never sin, it's that I believe Him. That's the only condition. I believe Him. And so I really want you to think about that. So how do we do these works? In John chapter 6, He tells us this in verse 28. They said to Him, "What shall we do that we might work the work? That we might work the works of God? What shall we do that we can work the works of God?" Jesus said to them, "This is the work of God. This is it, y'all. That you believe on Him whom He sent. If you will just do that." You know why you have a problem with other people? Because you're not believing in Him. You're trying to believe in them. And that's why division and strife and debate come. Because we're not believing in Him. I believe that if you will listen to me, I will persuade you to believe what I want you to believe. And we debate and we fight and all of this stuff. But if I would believe Him, I would believe He can convince you. And if He can't, I never could. So why do I fight that? Why do I want to wrestle with that? Why do I want to deal with that? This is the work of God. Believe on Jesus. That's it. How wonderful. That qualifies everybody. Anybody can do that. Anybody. It doesn't say go to school, get a PhD, become a doctor of theology. It doesn't say go be a monk for 6 years. Just believe on Him. Wow. It's right there. And all power that He has is given to you if you believe that. Miracles are necessary. It is the necessary role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. I'm going to go back to John 14. I just want you to see it again. If you believe on Me, the works that I do, you will do. And greater works than these will you do. In Mark chapter 16, I want you to see it. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus is commissioned to the people. And He says in verse 15, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Wow. Okay? So these are the kind of miracles that are expected in believers. This is expected. This is normal. Normal. Is it happening in your life? Is it happening in my life? If this is convicting, good. You can't go make it happen, but can you believe? It's the belief. And if you struggle to believe, can you ask God to help you believe? Can you ask Him to help you? Can you ask Him to give you faith? When we were preaching up in Arkansas, I just told the believers this. I said, I feel no pressure to make you healed. The pressure on me is to believe for your healing in faith. The pressure on me is to pray for you. And we saw people healed. But the pressure wasn't on me whether they were healed or not. That's not my business. That's God's business. I can't provide the healing, but I can give them Jesus. So I just say this to you. Do the signs follow in your life? Are you speaking in tongues? Are you casting out devils? Are you praying for the sick? Are these the things going on in your life? And so after that, the Lord had spoken to them. He was received into heaven. He sat on the right hand of God. And what did they do? They went forth and they preached everywhere. And how did the miracles come? Because the Lord worked with them. The Lord was with them. And He confirmed their word with signs following. He confirmed it. He did it. He works with it. Isn't that what Peter's praying in Acts 4? God, give us boldness to speak and you stretch out your hand. We're going together. We're not going for you, we're going with you. We're going together. And you give us the courage to speak your word, and we're believing you're going to stretch out your hand and do miracles. We're believing that so that people might know it. And so this was the necessary role. And the Holy Spirit is here to do mighty things, wonderful things through our life. He really is. I mean, this was never to end. And I believe it's to continue. And if anything could happen today out of this, it would be that we would have a sincere prayer life that begins to pray for miracles. Not for our sake, but for the irrefutable evidence that Jesus lives. That the power of God would come upon us for that. That we would preach the gospel as well. That we would declare the gospel. Not some humanistic thing. Not that everything's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. Peter preached that on the day of Pentecost. You crucified the Lord of glory, the Prince of life. You killed Him. You denied Him in front of Pilate and Rome. You did this. I mean, this is strong stuff. And they were pierced to their heart. And they were born again. I mean, this is the power of His gospel. So you see this in Acts chapter 2, when Pentecost came, 3,000 people were saved. You see this in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John go to Gate Beautiful and a crippled man's there, and they give him Jesus. They give him Jesus. Man, that's authority in prayer. They didn't pray for the sick that he would be healed. They gave him something. I have something to give you. And then they commanded him. They didn't just pray, oh, Lord, please touch him and heal him and, you know, well, tell me what the doctor says. You know, no, they said, get up and walk. And he did. I mean, it's such authority, such power, you know. And I don't think any of this was ever intended to stop. And then you see the 5,000 men getting saved. And then you go into chapter 5. And I just want you to see this in verse 14. This is marvelous. I mean, just think of what the Holy Spirit would be doing in our country right now. I mean, manifest in the life of Jesus. Look at this. And believers were the more added to the Lord. This is verse 14 of chapter 5. Multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. That is amazing. His shadow passing over them healed them. Incredible. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. And what did this happen? Oh, everybody was so happy. No, they were filled with indignation. The same hate that they had for Jesus, they had for these guys, because Jesus is still living in these guys. And they were filled with indignation, and they put them in prison and all of this. You know, you would think miracles and healing the sick and casting out devils would make everybody happy, but it didn't. I'm sure it made the common people happy. It sure didn't make the religious people happy. They were so upset. Verse 21. And he says this, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. That's just who we are. It's not what we do. It's just who we are. The power of God has come into our life. And there's other passages. You'll go through the book of Acts, and they took these handkerchiefs and they prayed over them, and then they distributed them throughout the communities, and people that had devils were delivered because they touched the handkerchief. These were divine ordained things of God. And it's just so, it's such an adventure to walk with God. It's such an adventure to pray and to believe God. If you're not praying for miracles, you're not expecting them. You're not looking for them. And if you're not praying and expecting miracles, then you're not looking for certain circumstances in every day of your life that God has engineered. I created an opportunity for a miracle right here. Are you looking? No, we're not even praying about miracles. And maybe we pray, oh God, maybe just help me to share the gospel with somebody. That's great. But maybe the means of sharing the gospel with that person is a miracle first. And maybe instead of sharing it with one, you're going to share it with 2,000. Because they're going to gather around to see what God just did. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how God engineers it. I just know that he does. Because the Holy Spirit has come to live in this body to be the expression of Jesus Christ in this world. And I want him to have that. I want him to have that in this church. And so I say to you as I close, as necessary as it was for Jesus to have miracles in his life as well as the truth in his life, it is as important for you and I to be able to have the works of the Holy Spirit as well as the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life. Pray for it. If you're convicted, good. I am. I'm convicted. I want to see this from God more and more and more. You know, I'm certainly not sitting up here, you know, trying to boast in myself. I'm convicted, but I want God to have that. And this is the moment and the hour. And y'all, we only have seconds left before it's all over. And there's a lot of people that need to come to Jesus, or they're going to face an antichrist world and probably go to hell from there. And they need Jesus. They need to know him. So please, let the Holy Spirit have his way. Begin today. I mean, what did he say in Mark 16? What's one of the powers that would have to those that believe? You'd speak in new tongues. Speak in them. Do it, you know. I mean, that's something you've got. Do it, you know. Pray for the sick. Walk around the church. You know somebody's sick. Walk around the church. Go pray for them. Go lay hands on them. And believe God. Believe God for it. Believe God for miracles. Somebody's troubled. They're under demonic oppression. They're depressed. They're in despair. Go pray for them. Go break that hold over their life. And believe God to do miracles. If we believe and step out in faith, we shall see. We shall. He wants to do it more than you want him to do it. I can promise you that. Shadows passing over the sick can still happen. Handkerchiefs being given out in the name of Jesus can still take place. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just thank you for your grace, and that your grace would be so strong upon us. It would be great upon our life, God, and that we would be able to just be the means by which you are able to demonstrate the power that you want to show so that all men will know Jesus lives. They won't be able to deny it. They may not like it. They may want to shut us up. But show them that Jesus lives. Save them. Save them from their blindness and their deception. Defeat the works of the devil, his lies and his intimidations. In Jesus' name, Father, let us be true spirit-filled believers. In your holy name, amen.